Good morning. It's March 25th, and this is your daily brief in EU news. Here's everything you need to know. In a groundbreaking shift in Irish politics, Simon Harris, at the young age of 37, is on the cusp of becoming Ireland's youngest Prime Minister, stepping into the shoes of Leo Varadkar as the new leader of the Fine Gael Party. This transition not only marks a significant generational change, but also signals a new direction for the party and the country. Harris, in his inaugural address as party leader, made clear his intent to inject new life into Fine Gael. He committed to continuing the current government's programme with a focus on policies that support small businesses, appreciate the value of work, and promote educational opportunities. His pro-European stance and advocacy for a more organised and sustainable immigration policy underscore his vision for Ireland's future. However, Harris steps into a role fraught with challenges. He inherits the task of addressing critical issues such as the housing crisis and homelessness, a daunting endeavour that will require solid public support. This comes at a time when Fine Gael is recuperating from a dip to third place in the 2020 general elections, behind the Sinn Féin party. The departure of Leo Varadkar from the prime ministerial position is noteworthy. Varadkar broke new ground as Ireland's youngest, first openly gay, and first biracial prime minister. His tenure marked a period of significant social and political evolution in Ireland. As Harris gears up to be formally elected as Prime Minister in early April, he has pledged to work diligently to repay the trust the people have placed in him. He has also voiced a strong commitment to fighting against the rise of populism and polarisation, signalling his readiness to steer Ireland through its current challenges and opportunities. This transition represents not just a change in leadership, but a pivotal moment for Ireland, as it grapples with pressing domestic issues and its place on the European and world stage. In a twist that's caught the eyes of many across Europe, Ivan Korkok, Slovakia's former foreign minister, has clinched a surprising victory in the first round of the country's presidential election. With a solid 42.5% of the vote, Korkok is challenging the status quo and shaking the foundations of Prime Minister Robert Fico's populist, pro-Russian government. Korkok's win is not just a number, it's a significant political statement. Over 958,393 citizens cast their ballots in his favour, signalling a clear discontent with the current government's policies and its divisive rhetoric. This victory has now catapulted Slovakia into a critical two-week countdown to a runoff election that could redefine its political landscape. Set against former Prime Minister Peter Pellegrini, the April 6th runoff is more than just an election. It's a decision point for Slovakia's future direction, particularly its stance on Ukraine. The implications of this election are far-reaching. Korkok's potential presidency promises a shift from the ruling party's Russia-friendly policies to a more balanced approach, aligning Slovakia closer with the European Union and supporting Ukraine amidst current tensions. This electoral upset is a pivotal moment for Slovakia, spotlighting the nation's internal divisions and its place on the European stage. The upcoming runoff not only decides a president, but could also signal a significant shift in Slovakia's foreign policy priorities. In a move that underscores the severity of the crisis in Gaza, United Nations Secretary-General Antonio Guterres made a significant visit to the Egyptian side of the Rafah border crossing. This visit brought to light not just the local, but the global repercussions of the months-long war, drawing attention to the urgent need for international intervention. Guterres' journey to the Rafah border was marked by a clear message: the immediate need for a ceasefire and a significant increase in aid deliveries to Gaza. The situation he described was dire, with the potential for famine and a devastating impact on the most vulnerable populations, particularly women and children, looming large. The UN chief did not mince words when he spoke of the obstacles faced in delivering aid to Gaza. He highlighted the clogged arteries of aid delivery at both the Rafah border crossing and Egypt's El Arish airport, calling on the international community to take concrete actions to ensure that humanitarian assistance can reach those in need. Guterres's visit did more than just shed light on the humanitarian crisis. It amplified the international pressure on Israel to ease its military operations in Gaza. By spotlighting the critical need for humanitarian intervention, the UN Secretary-General's actions emphasize the growing consensus for an immediate ceasefire and the importance of addressing the escalating humanitarian crisis. In a dramatic turn of events, the aftermath of a deadly attack at a Moscow concert hall has escalated tensions between Russia and Ukraine, spotlighting the complex dynamics of international relations and security concerns. The incident, claimed by the Islamic State group, resulted in the tragic loss of 137 lives and left over 100 injured, thrusting the spotlight on Russia's security apparatus and political landscape. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has forcefully rebutted Russian President Vladimir Putin's allegations that Ukraine had a hand in the attack. This denial comes amid a broader discourse on Russia's internal security measures and the prioritization of political dissent over safeguarding against external threats. Critics have pointed to the incident as evidence of vulnerabilities within Russia's security framework, challenging Putin's image as a strongman leader. In the wake of the attack, Putin has faced accusations of exploiting the tragedy for political leverage, suggesting Ukraine's involvement without substantiation. This stance has been contradicted by US intelligence, which confirmed ISIS-K's responsibility for the devastating event. Russian efforts to link the assailants to Ukraine have led to arrests of individuals allegedly attempting to cross into Ukraine, intensifying the rhetoric for more forceful military action against Ukraine and even calls for the reinstatement of the death penalty in Russia, a move that would reverse a decision made when Russia joined the Council of Europe in 1997. The fallout from the attack has not been limited to political and security debates. It has had tangible repercussions on the ground. Russia has launched military strikes against Ukraine's energy infrastructure, plunging over 1 million people into darkness and exacerbating the humanitarian situation. The ongoing exchange of accusations and military actions underscores the fragility of the relationship between Russia and Ukraine, with significant implications for regional stability and international diplomacy. In a landmark decision, Spain's High Court has taken a bold step by ordering the temporary suspension of the popular messaging app Telegram, sparking a heated debate over copyright infringement and digital rights. This move comes amid allegations from media companies accusing the platform of copyright infringement, leading to a lawsuit that has now seen the court intervene directly. The court's directive was clear. Telecom operators had a mere 3-hour window to block access to Telegram. However, despite this tight deadline, the app remained accessible to users in Spain as of Sunday, defying the court's suspension order. This situation underscores the challenges in enforcing digital regulations and the complexities involved in controlling access to global internet platforms. At the heart of the court's decision is a failure by authorities in the British Virgin Islands to assist in identifying those responsible for the alleged copyright infringements. This lack of cooperation has significantly influenced the National Court's drastic measure to suspend the app's operations temporarily. The suspension has not gone without its critics. Consumer advocates and the Professional Association for Computer Engineering in Spain have slammed the court's decision as disproportionate, arguing that it infringes on digital rights and freedoms. Moreover, the Spanish newspaper El País has highlighted Telegram's notorious stance on user privacy, pointing out its reluctance to share information with authorities, which has made it a favoured platform among both critics of oppressive regimes and criminal elements alike. This unfolding story marks a critical juncture for digital platform regulation in Spain, reflecting the broader global struggle to balance the rights to privacy and free expression against the imperatives of law enforcement and copyright protection in the digital age. This has been your daily brief in EU news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.